am here in studio with State Senator Patrick O'Connor from Weymouth. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Christine, thanks for having us.
Oh, you know, delighted to have you here now that the formal session is over, and kind of a good recap about what happened during this past time in office. And it's not just about the elections. For starters, tell our listeners, because sometimes people aren't clear, what is your district? You are the Plymouth and Norfolk district. What towns is that?
So it's the Plymouth and Norfolk district. It's actually going to change due to redistricting. No towns change, but the actual name changes to the first Plymouth and Norfolk district. And so it's Weymouth down to Duxbury, Weymouth, Hingham, Hull, Scituate, Marshfield, Duxbury, Norwell.
Okay.
Cohasset.
Okay, so people know if they are in your district. Now, the economic development bill, that's something we talked about off and on during the past couple of months. It's going to make a big difference here, not only statewide, but on the South Shore. How specifically here on the South Shore? People always want to know, hey, what's in it for me, especially if I'm a South Shore resident?
Yeah, we were really lucky in the negotiation process. So this bill in its total is just under $4 billion, and it's a huge investment into a lot of things statewide. But right here on the South Shore, we were able to get money for infrastructure improvements, money for all of our food pantries, all of our councils on aging or senior centers, many of our police departments, and a lot of local projects that really needed an economic boost. One in particular in Hull. The Friends of the Hull Scouting have a scouting house that has gone into some disarray, and they needed some money to really get it back to where it should be. So we were able to get $25,000 for them. And it's just these little investments that I think make a huge difference to build community here on the South Shore, from the Legion Hall in Duxbury to NeighborWorks in Marshfield, which is actually going to supplement the housing for our homeless veterans, the veterans house that we have, the Norwell Grange, the Friendship Home, our police departments, as I said before. There's a real good things that are going to be spent here on the South Shore with the money that we were able to secure.
And that was just for the overall amount, $3.76 billion relief package. Is that number correct?
It is, yes.
Now, Talking Information Center, of course, which operates right out of this building, you're also able to secure $350,000 for them to help them continue their programming, which is, you know, that's a lifeline to something like this, which is, of course, a radio reading service for the blind and low vision. Terrific job they do. And, of course, I am affiliated with them, too, as a number of people here in our station. I know that they've been in existence for almost 45 years, and that's it's a lifeline.
So it really is.
Thank you again.
No, and it's our hope at some point in time to get them built into the budget. They were in the past, and now it's basically come to legislative priorities, what some people refer to as earmarks, of us going into the budget every single year, getting into those negotiations with the budget writers. I'm proud to be one of them, the three that were appointed to finalize the budget for the past three fiscal years. And so it's given us an opportunity to really stress the importance of programs like TIC and many other organizations here on the South Shore that really do amazing work that help people in sometimes, you know, more niche areas where, you know, programs like this wouldn't exist without the volunteers and the people who put this together. So I give the TIC a lot of credit. It's easy to sell things like the TIC to members of the legislature once they see the good work that they do and the impact they have.
Oh, it's terrific. I think it was even our own Ed Perry that figured out for every dollar of funding that goes into TIC, because it's a band of over 200 volunteers that help actually do all the reading, they get something like $3 or $4 worth of services. And that's a program the state should be touting. So again, kudos for that whole crew, and thank you again for helping out. Now, Maddie's Promise, this was something that I had read about. I'm not that familiar with it, but I know it's a great nonprofit, and it's it helps with rare pediatric cancer. You're able to get them $100,000.
We were, and this is the third time we were able to get them money. Maddie's Promise is Madeline McCoy, 11-year-old girl in Hingham who passed away from a rare cancer. And every year prior to the pandemic, I had hosted the Pan Mass Challenge for Kids down at Wampatuck State Park. And Madeline McCoy was actually going to be one of the ambassadors. We have a child who's battling cancer as the ambassador, or a child who successfully beat cancer as an ambassador every year. And it was her turn to be the ambassador, and she passed away a few weeks prior to us being able to kick off the Kids Pan Mass Challenge. And I met her family there, and it really stuck with me that the government needs to do a lot more in order to invest into making sure that there's equitable investment into finding cures for childhood cancer as there are for other cancers, because right now there simply isn't. And when you go around and you talk to these parents who are dealing with the most unimaginable thing you could possibly have happen to you with a child battling cancer, to then know that insurance companies and pharmaceutical companies and healthcare companies just aren't there for you to make the investment, that sometimes these odds are decreased because the money's not there because of how rare the disease is and how, I guess, infrequently the drug would be used. But in my opinion, we need to do a hell of a lot more in this space because we're failing a lot of kids who are battling the most significant challenge of their life at such a young age.
When we talk about infrastructure, I'm not just talking about roads and bridges and things like that, but societal infrastructure. And I know that you have been a big supporter of getting help for local food pantries and the senior centers or Council on Aging's. To me, that those seem like societal infrastructure, for want of a better way to describe. And you obviously do, too.
I love that. I've never heard that term before, but I love that
trademark.
Term. Yeah. No, I totally agree. Every single year we try and go out to every single one of our food pantries and see what the need is. And every single year we've seen the need grow. And now we're entering a period of time of, I would say, somewhat economic uncertainty with inflation and the price of goods going up and everything else that is happening in the financial markets with crypto. And, you know, when you look at what's going on right now, you can see that there's anxiety in people. And we, as my team and I up at the State House, we were able to team up with United Way. Bridget Boyd, who's a school committee member here in Marshfield, was actually the one who gave us the invitation. And every year we've been doing this, and this year was the most individuals that we've ever given out Thanksgiving meals to the week before Thanksgiving in Weymouth at the Weymouth High School. So we know that the need's there, and building up this societal infrastructure, as you said, by supporting our food pantries who support some of our most vulnerable and making sure that people don't go without food for the evening or for the day, and then making sure that we support our councils on aging, who are really a first line. Not only do they offer great programming from fall prevention and, you know, bingo and food and camaraderie and all of that, but they are such a lifeline to our seniors, where sometimes that's the only human interaction that they have that day. And although that's sad, I'm glad that we have places like that that exist, and we should continue to invest in them.
And not only that, but because we look at a lot of their calendars that they send out from all the area senior centers, I'm always impressed by all the different programs that they have, and the people that come in and talk about specific topics, the opportunities they have for lifelong education. That's key. That's very key.
Absolutely.
I'm thinking, how old do you have to be to go there? Because I think it's terrific. Two other issues that have been ongoing, of course, addiction and mental health. Do they affect every rung of society? You've helped to get some funding to help out with programs in those areas.
Yeah, not just here with South Shore Peer Recovery and a couple other organizations that we've been able to really support and uplift. But at the statewide level, during the pandemic, we had a story of an individual who lived in the district who had a child who was experiencing a mental health crisis. The child was about 10 years old, and they went to a Boston area hospital, and the child sat in that Boston area hospital in ER annex for about 3 weeks. And then once
they're crazy.
It is. No, it happens all the time. And it's admitted that it's happened all the time, but it is absolutely crazy. And the hospital's not equipped to offer them any mental health supports, or very bare minimum. And so once they were able to find a placement, which was outpatient, they went to their insurance company. Their insurance company denied the claim for their son to go and get the services that they needed. They were told to go to MassHealth. So they dropped their private insurance company. They go to MassHealth. MassHealth then says, you make too much money. We can't provide you assistance for this program either. And so they take their child out of the ER and bring them back home, basically 3 weeks isolated in a hospital, getting no help. And then when they finally found the help that they needed, there was barriers to being able to provide them the care that he needed. And so what we did was we saw that is one example of many of the mental health system in this state and in this country being broken, and that we passed a bill on the very last day of session, 4 o'clock in the morning. We passed the Mental Health ABC bill, which basically tears down the current structure of mental health as you know it in Massachusetts, sets a foundation, and starts building upon that foundation by looking at mental health with the same parity you do as regular health care. And then on top of that, we used $500 million in ARPA funds to fund what we hope to be the new mental health system that we have in Massachusetts, because the way that it was working for that individual family, the way that it was working for other individuals who need help, just was not working. And we needed to we needed to fix it. And my hope is that this foundation will lead to a stronger system that actually works for people who are experiencing mental health crises and need the help.
Definitely, and that's something I definitely want to follow up with you on. And still the ongoing issue of addiction in our society. Some programs are funded, not all of them are funded. There's so many other small sort of grassroots programs. You've been helping out with South Shore Peer Recovery. You've been helping out Drug Story Theater, which is something that we've heard so many positive things about.
Yeah, we helped out both of them in the past budgets, and also One Life at a Time, which is based in Braintree outside of the district. But Christine Driscoll O'Neill from Cohasset is actually the person who founded it. We need a very mixed and nuanced approach to how we deal with recovery. I thought that we made a lot of progress in the pandemic, just exposed that isolation and depression and other things are just going to continue to contribute to those numbers climbing. But we know that we can make progress. We know that it's going to be community-based supports, and we hope that we'll get to a point in time where education, in my opinion, the only way out of this in its entirety, that education prevails and that we're able to have people understand what opioid-based pain medication does. And at that time, I'm 38 years old. At the time that I was growing up and going through high school, like, I knew that that there were a lot of people that were doing opioid-based pain medication that had no idea what they were doing. They just thought that it was, you know, a step below or a step above marijuana, and they didn't know that what they were doing was actually taking, for lack of a better term, just a heroin pill. And they got addicted to opioids, and they went through, some of them have passed, but they've gone through a lot of challenges in their lives. And it's because of the lack of education they had towards, you know, what was happening. You know, granted,
I've heard that story so many times, isn't it? And isn't that a sad comment on just the way that whole thing came about?
Yeah, and
spend an hour talking about that.
We could, and I think the pharmaceutical companies, and now with the books and data that's out there, I think that you can, and the lawsuits that have been won by states, pharmaceutical companies definitely played a role in trying to get this drug out to as many people as possible, make as much profits, and in turn, it's cost in life and in monetary value this country an amount that can never be counted.
Well, you brought home a lot of good funding for the district, and we just touched on a few of the things. What do you see now that you've been reelected again for another 2 years? What do you see as your next big focus as you go into the new session?
So I think we need to continue to work on a lot of the investments that we've made in various different industry sectors. We have made massive investment into transportation, and clearly through some of the challenges that the Orange Line and other lines have had over the past 6 or 8 months, and just the most recent problems, I know that these problems have been going on for decades, we need to be at this stage where we're having real conversations about how we fix the T. The second aspect is going to be what the future of work looks like and how the T plays a role in that future of work and transportation needs in general. Housing is always going to be at the forefront of the new governor-elect Healey's agenda, as it was with Governor Baker in trying to create housing. I think that in our neck of the woods, it needs to be created responsibly. And that was one of the things that government, I think, has been missing from the people who live in the suburbs and who live outside of Boston, is that we want to be part of the solution, but we also want our voices to be heard. We don't just want mandates and regulations and policy changes that force specific housing upon us. We want to make sure that it mixes with our community and also our businesses. We're experiencing a huge labor shortage across the board, and if we could create housing that actually works for the businesses that are in our area, that people can afford, and that we could have people grow their careers and their families here in the South Shore, we want that. But again, we have to be part of the solution. And Chapter 40B and a lot of these other laws are antiquated and tremendously outdated, and they need to be changed, and they're doing us no favors.
If people want to get in touch with you or find out more about what your office does or your campaign, or just want to find out anything else about the district, what's the best way to get in touch with your office?
So you can go online to senatoroconnor.com. That's our virtual Beacon Hill office. O'ConnorForSenate.com is our virtual campaign office. We're up at the State House in room 419, and also at 855 Washington Street in Weymouth. We're keeping that office open for a period of time, And the best number is 617-722-1646. And we're on all the social media channels, so reach out to us. Transparency and accessibility is one of our top things. So please reach out to us. We hope to get back, and we try to get back to people in a very reasonable, like, 24 to 48-hour time frame. And if you have any constituent issues or opinions or cases at all, please let us know. We're more than happy to help out. Or if you're an organization that's looking for increased funding, we're always looking for great organizations who are doing the work here on the South Shore that if you weren't doing it, government would be spending a heck of a lot more doing it themselves.
Well put. Again, that's State Senator Pat O'Connor for the 1st Plymouth and Norfolk District. Thanks so much for joining us. We're going to have you on again soon, and we'll put this interview up online as well.